Right now, the enemy and practically anybody on the spectrum is able to use the spectrum, and that's that invisible domain through which radio waves travel, you know, your telephone signal travels for a wireless phone, etc., to attack U.S. soldiers, to attack each other, to deny us our ability to communicate and coordinate, and do a lot of hostile actions. Electronic warfare is something that you can use to protect yourself, the way we do with jammers and IEDs. It's something you can do to attack someone else, to stop them from talking, or to stop, you know, their own ordnance from detonating, for instance, or to deafen their radars. And it's something that you can use to gather intel from those radio waves. You can listen in on what other people are saying, and you can interpret it, and you can use it to develop plans on.
And Colonel, is this an evolution of what used to be the Signal Command? Is there still a Signal Command? Didn't this grow out of it, or has this supplanted what used to be Signal Command, which was mainly concerned with radio?
You know, the Signal folks have been mostly concerned with communications, battle command system, using the spectrum to communicate on. This is actually a new capability for the Army for the most part. The Signal Command uses it for communications. The intelligence folks use it to glean information from. But we're looking at this as a form of fires, the way that the other services do, because you can use it to attack. So the Army is going to add the attack element to the already existing elements of communications and intelligence.
And when you talk about this kind of attack, has it been successful? Have they been able to block signals carried by radio or microwave frequencies from actually, you know, emanating between people who are trying to communicate in the military? Or is this just a practice that you want to proactively prevent?
Actually, it's been successful for decades. The other services have been doing it from an air or a surface Navy point of view for decades. What they've done is used platforms, electronic warfare platforms, to stop radars from seeing them. They've used it to stop communications from the air. They can use it to block weapon systems, guidance systems from the air, or even from shipborne platforms. So they've been doing it for a long time. We have proved that capability in the war in Iraq. And interestingly enough, in just open source, you know, not secret documents, even on the internet, you can see a lot of other nations place a big amount of capital on this capability. So other nations are getting out of kinetics more and more into this capability and developing it more and more.
And as communications and radar have moved from analog to more and more digital, and using digital signal processing, has that changed the way that you attack these issues, and has it made it more difficult or easier to...
You know, I think that it's added a different dimension. I think you have two dimensions here. You have a computer network operations dimension, where you can go through digital networks, you know, to attack certain emitters or capabilities. But you still have the open spectrum. No matter what kind of digital radio or digital emitter that you have, when it goes out on the spectrum, it turns into analog. So you see sine waves, you know, curving up and down that remain the same. So that target set on the open spectrum in the open air remains the same regardless of the processing behind it.
We're talking this morning to Colonel Lori G. Moe Buckout. She's the chief of the Electronic Warfare Division for Army Staff. All right, so how do you combat this? I mean, clearly you have some measured understanding of what it is that you're up against. So how do you train people to either block the attempt or to identify it when it happens?
Well, you know, at first I think we thought it was sort of easy, and that was to get jammers into theater, for instance, to do the counter-IED thing. And we brought in the Navy and the Air Force folks to kind of help us out on the ground, and they were just great. But then we began to realize that there is an additional complexity to it. And that was realized very quickly when we began to do our electronic attack efforts. And at the same time, we were blocking our own communications in our battle command systems and the ways that we see and hear electronically in the battlefield. So we were basically, you know, attacking ourselves at the same time. So we realized we have to build much more sophisticated capabilities to fight on the ground than you may have to fight from another platform. So our folks are trained to operate in a division battle space that may have, for instance, 72,000 emitters and collectors. So over several square kilometers, you'll have thousands and thousands of constantly moving radios, battle command systems, radars, satellite systems, or intelligence collection capabilities. That means you have to build some surgical, stuff that's able to find the enemy, locate the enemy, maybe attack or exploit the enemy without knocking out everything else. So the folks we're building are specially trained in ground operations to understand that environment, to understand more sophisticated equipment, and to synchronize all those spectrum-using capabilities so you can still go after the enemy and yet retain your own capability to talk and to command and control.